south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, we're back, and just a little update. It's possible next Friday I won't be doing a show. Got some visitors coming in from Chicago I haven't seen for some years. And I'll have to, you know, make sure they don't get kidnapped and sold for their body parts. After all, this is Latin America, and if you go on the U.S. State Department's website, you'll see most all Latin American countries are on the U.S. travel shit list. But, you know, if you talk to any gringo or expat down here in Latin America, they'll tell you that's exactly the way they like it. It keeps the general exodus numbers down. In other words, it cuts down on the riffraff, because you know what happens when gringos start piling into a Latin country. It ends up like Costa Rica, which ironically is one of the only Latin countries that's not on the U.S. State Department shit list. Shows you the stupidity of governments and how ass backwards the world really is. Now, today I'd like to start with a rather long email that hits on so many points of concern regarding gringos and expats living in Latin America that I thought it was worth taking a deep dive into this one. This one's from Scott. He says, "Hey Johnny, could you please send me the info on that EMP shield you talked about on your show the other day? I want to incorporate it with an off-grid solar system that uses Victron components and is set up with lightning grounds." All right, me Johnny here, let's get that out of the way first. Of course, I'll send that to you. And I just want to mention to all you guys and gals out there, whether you've got solar or just regular grid electric, this EMP shield product I spoke about on, I think it was two shows ago now, it really is a revolutionary thing, and not even available a year or so ago. Again, let me state for the record that I make absolutely nothing from this. There's no clicks going through my websites or anything. I make no percentage. But being an electrical engineer in a former life, let me tell you, this thing's really a game changer. Why? Because you no longer have to worry about possible solar EMP strikes or man-made EMP strikes that, you know, governments will use, of course, in future wars to knock out power grids. Now, I know it's not a scenario anybody wants to be thinking about, and very few people actually know about hardening of your electrical devices in and around the house, or hardening of your local electric grid itself. Just ask a power utility guy or an electrician. They generally won't know what you're talking about. But you know, if there's an EMP pulse, man-made or not, it'll wipe out all your sensitive electronics. And before this EMP shield product, you either didn't want to contemplate an EMP pulse because it was too catastrophic to think about, or you bought some EMP bags like I did and put some of your hard drives and spare electronics in them, knowing that they'll be safe if and when an EMP pulse comes. And one will come, I guarantee you that. The sun does it with some regularity, only the big ones, the ones that'll knock out the grid and your electronics, only about every 70 to 100 years, so we're about due for one. Luckily, though, if a solar EMP pulse comes, we'll probably get about 2 hours' notice. Everybody will find out on their TV, internet, or radio. Then at least you'll have time to unplug all your sensitive electronic equipment, because you don't want to have any cords attached at all to your wall outlets or any wires or cords attached to anything like your cell phones or TVs. Because it's the wiring that picks up the EMP pulse and it goes into the system and fries components. The cool thing is you no longer have to worry about any of that stuff if you get one of these EMP shield devices. They're expensive, $300 a piece, but you'll only need one at your breaker box. And if you've got a solar system, you'll need to put one where the solar panel wires connect to your inverter controller box. They've even got a model if you've got an electric car. Now, I know you probably don't have an electric car, but that's the future. You will have one. And since electric cars are loaded with electronics and copper wiring, a good-sized EMP pulse will fry the thing. So again, just know there is a solution out there. And to drop $300 to protect all the electronics in your house is a cheap insurance policy. However, I predict in the upcoming months there will be some other companies making that stuff. Lots of competition will come in because it's a wide open and growing field. So expect the prices to drop like a rock in the next year or so. I'm thinking instead of $300, it'll probably be around $100. And the name of the company again is EMP Shield. Just stick that in your browser and pull up their website. Meanwhile, the U.S. government is busy hardening all their military equipment so that it could take an EMP pulse. They're expecting that, you know, it'll be one of the weapons in the next war. And guess whose products they use, and they actually certify them? The EMP shield I'm talking about. You don't have to take my word for it. Just read about it on their website. All right, back to Scott's email. Now, I have to tell you, Scott's an expat living in Peru, so he's coming from an already living in Latin America perspective, actually living in South America perspective. And as you'll see, there's a big difference between living in Central America and South America. We'll get into that in a little while. He says, Johnny, on another note, I'm so frustrated down here in South America. Customer service is almost non-existent. I'm sure you already know that. For example, I've been trying for the past 5 months to put together an order for an electric fence system for some small livestock I have. The company I'm in touch with is the only distributor in Peru for these sorts of systems, and it seems to be run by one guy and his son. I've been in touch with them for literally 5 months now, trying to work out the details to just place an order for what I need. In fact, there have been times when I've contacted them and I don't hear back for 2 weeks. Other times, they just don't respond at all. I'm actually trying to put together an order for about $3,000, and that's not small potatoes. Especially for Latinos, some of them don't make that kind of money in a year. But I still don't even understand how to connect the various components of the system. That's why I need these guys to help me out. Crazier yet is they don't even have any videos on how to put these things together. And when I recently asked these guys about it, they just told me to look for an electrician. A horrible answer for me, since the parts of the system that have me scratching my head are the parts that don't even carry electricity. Because of things like that, Johnny, I really miss the good old USA. The land of conveniences, good products, and customer service. Now, I'm not new to Latin America, so I guess it's no surprise to me that people will leave $3,000 sitting on the table just because they're too useless as salesmen to care. But I am getting to my wit's end with this sort of behavior throughout Peru. It's everywhere down here. Imagine having to provide a little customer service to land a sale of $3,000. Nope, it's much easier to ignore or scam people. And what a scam culture I've found down here. Well, I take that back because I haven't been scammed lately. However, I also really need those products to get a farm business plan off the ground soon. It's so simple, too. I just need to do my due diligence and figure out that the products will actually work for my situation and what I'm planning on doing with them. It's not rocket science. Too bad the salespeople seem as clueless as me about it. Also, the flakiness factor with them is very strong, though I finally received one answer about one component, but 4 months after I made the inquiry. And Johnny, on a side note, here's some tips from a slightly seasoned expat on how not to get scammed here in South America. Number one, it helps to have a family in strategic places in the Latin American country you're in. Luckily, I have my wife, a Peruvian national. And I'm lucky that a few of her family members are also trustworthy. And nowadays, at least we have the website MercadoLibre.com is big here. It's another Craigslist-style OLX.com copy with lots of internet merchant businesses taken off. Well, they're trying to anyway. The problem is with this COVIDiot pandemic, all the people are being forced to go online in a country that just wasn't ready and probably never will be to make that leap into the internet business world. Problem number one, Google, Yelp, and critical reviews, for example, are basically non-existent down here. So everything's a gamble when you're looking for a service or any company to purchase from on the internet. All right, me, Johnny, here with a comment on that. Yep, that's right. It's one of the big problems when you're shopping online in Latin America. There's no way to do a search of the company to find out if the customers are satisfied or if there's any public or private comments about the company at all. There's just no rating system or customer feedback. All right, then Scott says, Johnny, generally speaking, individuals and not registered companies will be the ones to scam you. I'd say probably 9 times out of 10, if someone asks for any amount of money up front, they've got no intention of doing anything in your favor. Or perhaps the intention is there, but later, when faced with the concept of having to lift a finger to fill an order, it's just easier to slink away with the dough and do nothing. One more thing, Johnny. I'm living basically out in the sticks, and we're in the Stone Age when it comes to internet stuff. So when we order something online here, it usually has to come directly from the capital, Lima, Peru, or another city like Tarapoto. Luckily, my wife has family in both places, and I've learned my lesson. So before we make any payment for any online product, we'll send my wife's brother or sister to go look at the product with their own two eyes first and confirm that it's in good condition or at least exists. Sometimes we'll even arrange a video chat and they'll send photos to see the stuff for ourselves. Only then do we make the payment. And my wife's siblings immediately take the product and ship it via courier to a town close by to us. In the same vein, it's always best to order something contra entrega. That's a service they'll offer sometimes. Contra entrega means basically COD, cash on delivery, where you basically pay the courier office when you go to pick up the item. I've done it that way a few times too, and it's a nice option when offered. So, Johnny, getting back to my rant about the culture here in South America, I've seen some of the reviews of your own podcast floating around, and it always strikes me as funny when people criticize you for not being politically correct when talking about Latinos. Just goes to show you a lot of gringos are clueless about real Latin Americans. It's as if they just know Machu Picchu, the Mexican chain Señor Tortugas, the resorts in Cancun, and whatever PC views they've heard about Latinos on National Public Radio. Then they'll criticize you, Johnny, a person who's been living there for decades, for pointing out some very inconvenient truths and quirks about the locals and culture that are absolutely true. So, Johnny, if any of those people are listening right now, I'd like to further orient them towards a reality check. Latinos are some of the most perennial dishonest people I've ever been exposed to in all my world travels. They're just full of envy, too. And, as just explained with my business dealings, can be kind of flaky. They'll lie and cheat and steal, and as a group, you'll have a big target painted on your back if you're a gringo. And, Johnny, that gringo advantage you talk about, there's also a gringo disadvantage. Then he says, as for me, I speak fluent Spanish and have a wife who's native to this country. And it amazes me how often Latinos think I'm the clueless one when they try to pull their scams. And I'm way off the gringo tourist trail, too. Unfortunately, I've learned the hard way too many times. People are constantly trying to pull one over on me, the gringo. How's that for politically correct? But don't get me wrong, Johnny. There are plenty of good people here and no one's perfect. I'm certainly no saint myself, but down here, the bad apples I've found are really rotten. Just saying. But back to my original topic and dealing with the electric fence distributor. It has me remembering an old podcast of yours where you were recommending starting an American-style customer service certification program where you'd train up Latinos in customer service first world style. Latinos love their little pieces of paper certifying their qualifications and awards in all sorts of insignificant and sometimes laughable things. They really love to put that stuff on display. Seems like they've got a diploma for every four-hour lecture they've ever completed, and it'll be nicely mounted and framed in a choice spot on the Wall of Fame, prominently displayed in the house somewhere. So, Johnny, what about your idea, the American-style customer service certification program? Any ideas, Johnny, on how to begin to develop such a curriculum? I think it's really a great business idea. I think one could even develop it into a lecture tour. Then he signs it, all the best, Scott. Well, Scott, thanks for that nice, complete boots-on-the-ground take from a gringo expat living in the boonies out in Peru. Now, speaking of gringo business idea, here's another idea that would take virtually no investment that I just know would kick ass and be in very high demand. Because, you know, gringos and expats are always looking for great business ideas. And this one's particularly aimed at the flood of new green gringos, the post-election, post-COVIDiot wave, wanting to get the hell out of Dodge. Now, think about for a minute just what a newly arrived green gringo is thinking about or is very concerned about when he first arrives in Latin America. Besides, you know, having a place to live in a decent area, getting a bank account, utility hookups, and all that. Well, for one, they're all looking to get a health insurance policy. We talk about that all the time. But here's the thing. Nearly every gringo expat I know has what you might call arrival anxiety. They worry about a lot of stuff. One of the main things being insurance. And once they get down here to Latin America, they soon realize none of the locals have any of that kind of stuff. But for them, it's a given that everyone up in the States has homeowners insurance, renters insurance, life insurance, car insurance, business interruption insurance, even pet insurance. Whereas 99.9% of Latinos do not have life insurance, homeowners, or renters insurance. And even when it comes to car insurance, only about 10% of cars you see on the road have any kind of car insurance at all, even though third-party liability coverage is mandatory, though it's really only lip service, because there's no cops or government authorities enforcing it. Whereas up in the States, if you get pulled over by the cops for pretty much any reason, they can and will ask you to show proof of at least liability coverage, and you'll get a ticket and they'll fine you if you don't. And they certainly won't let you drive that car home. They'll impound it. Oh, and did you know there are only two states in the union that have no car insurance mandatory requirement? That would be New Hampshire and Virginia. So in Latin America, about 10% of all cars and trucks you see on the road are covered by car insurance. That's a scary thought, huh? And the reason why it's even as high as 10% is because when you take out a loan to buy a car, the loan company or bank requires you carry insurance. But you see, in Latin America, it's not a societal norm. There's no time-honored generational tradition for carrying any kind of insurance at all. That's why it's a given down here when someone pays off their car loan, they drop the extra expense of having insurance too. So the thing is, here in Latin America, at least you know if you get in an accident with a car that's fairly new, chances are they'll have coverage because 99% of people who own late model cars have 4 and 5 year car loans and the loan company forces them to pay for insurance. But as for umbrella policies, renters and homeowners insurance, earthquake, pet or flood insurance, I don't think in all my years down here I've met a single Latino who has that kind of coverage. Except those Latinos I know who have gone to school, university in the United States and came back to work in daddy's firm. They do absorb all those gringo customs. The good ones and the bad. Those Latino entitled children of the rich are extreme gringo wannabes. However, when it comes to newbie gringos and expats who've just arrived, once they get over the euphoria stage, we all get that when we first come down, they start getting anxious about certain things. One of those anxieties being insurance coverage. They feel naked if they're not insured ear hole to a hole. So the business idea is this. You approach a local Latino insurance broker in whatever Latin city you're in. There's a lot of these guys. They sell health and car insurance, basically. Well, you walk right in and make him an offer he can't refuse. You tell him, look, you want to be the gringo insurance connection to expats. The gringo guy that markets an entire gringo insurance package. You offer a one-stop shop package offering homeowners insurance, renters insurance, fire, car, theft, appliance, electronic equipment, and even pet insurance. All the usual suspect insurance coverages gringos have up in the first world. You will provide that service. And the Latino insurance broker you approach? He'll have the network and the access to all those insurance plans that he's not selling right now because Latinos don't ever buy that stuff. And the only thing you'll have to do is put together the plan, a website in English, of course. Start advertising in all that country's English language expat rags and gringo expat fake book groups. There are hundreds of them in every country. And believe me, everywhere you find gringos living in Latin America, even way off the tourist trail, gringos congregate. They have things like garden clubs, book clubs and AA clubs, yoga groups and running clubs, movie night discussion clubs, in fact, discussion clubs of all kinds. And believe me, they'd be glad to have a gringo come in and give that kind of spiel. Now, I'm not saying you need all that insurance coverage here. For one thing, houses don't burn. They're steel, concrete, and glass. And if you're in a residential tower or the Altiplano, you're high up. So unless there's an extinction event meteor strike, flooding is out of the question. And though robberies do happen, it's always small, petty crime. Not worth making a claim because it'll barely scratch your deductible. In fact, my belief is you only need health insurance and car insurance. That's it. But, you know, gringos have this I gotta get covered for everything mentality. In fact, I've known some recently arrived newbie expat gringos who bought cars but won't drive them until they've got insurance coverage. And who fret and lose sleep over the fact they've got no homeowners insurance. And get this. One older gringa lady said to me, I love my second floor balcony, but I'm afraid to have a party because if someone gets drunk and slips and falls, I'll lose everything. Yeah, right. There you go thinking like you're back in the States again. No, she won't. This is Latin America. No one sues people for that kind of stuff because every house, business, road, and sidewalk could be cited for dozens of U.S. code violations. But amongst gringos, especially older gringos, that insurance coverage anxiety persists. So then why not give them what they want? And believe me, they'll trust a gringo offering plans like that over a Latino insurance guy any day. Because Latino insurance brokers have no idea what gringos really want or need. I know that firsthand by visiting a few and seeing what kind of health insurance plans they come up with for gringos. That's something we spend a great deal of time talking about at my Expat Insider seminars. All right, back to Scott's email. He says, Johnny, I really miss first world USA conveniences. Well, Scott, let me tell you, I visited most all South American countries. I even lived in Colombia for a while. And I'll repeat what I said in a couple of shows maybe a year or so ago. If you land in Central America, it's a much softer landing than if you land in South America. What I mean by that is there's a much bigger lag time for practically everything in South America. things you want that are imported are much more expensive. It's much greater distance for containers to travel. And except for food, the stores that have finished goods have a much thinner selection. Like Scott said, online ordering is 10 years behind the times. That's true for South America, but not so for Central America. And that's a really big deal. Now, you've heard me say that online ordering from Amazon, eBay, and such is smooth, quick, and dependable. And as long as you order things that don't weigh a hell of a lot, pretty reasonable because you pay for shipping by weight. And the shipping only takes about 4 days to a week. That includes passing through customs. Whereas in South America, you order online, it's a nightmare. That's one of the reasons I prefer to live in Central America over South America. Though Scott is right, customer service everywhere in Latin America really stinks. That's why there are so many business opportunities for gringos and expats. With a good percentage of gringo businesses arising out of the frustration they've experienced personally when dealing with Latino businesses, like the guys Scott mentioned in his email. When Scott also mentioned what he calls the gringo disadvantage, well, I agree there's some of that too, though I've personally found that phenomena pretty much only exists when you're dealing with an individual, not a business, and they realize you're a gringo. Then that gringo pricing thing can kick in, but not always. Doesn't matter if you speak Spanish. They see you're a gringo, they up the price, and many gringos will pay that price because it still seems okay to them. That's why I always say if you're going to do a big or substantial deal, bring a native speaker along with you to make the deal or send that person out alone. In fact, many times I've been out and about and I've decided to buy something and the person with me, the Latino or Latina, says, "Let me do it for you." You know what that says, don't you? That all Latinos and Latinas are aware that gringos get gouged. That's why it's always good to have some Latino friends on your side when you want to buy or rent something that involves a decent amount of cash. In fact, I just had that very discussion with my right-hand seminar logistics lady. She was talking about taking some newbie expats around Lake Atitlan in Guatemala, and they saw some leather and wood artisan stuff they wanted to buy. And Rita pulled them aside and said, "Don't buy any of that stuff now. Let me go back later myself and do the deal." So when talking about all this stuff and how gringos occasionally get gouged, once you've made the move to get out of Dodge and get that plan B going, it really pays to have a network to help you with this stuff. Though you will find the closer you are to the gringo tourist trail, the more you're likely to get scammed or gouged. Why? Because way off the trail, there are so few gringos that the locals are just not thinking in those terms. And if you're off the tourist trail and you do get taken or gouged, it's not just you. It's pretty much certain the local Latinos are being gouged in the same way by that guy, too. Oh, and one final thing. I've met some very good and some very bad Latinos, but most of them are somewhere in between. Now, in my case, I've lived on the gringo tourist trail almost 3 years in Costa Rica, and 95% of the rest of the time well off the gringo tourist trail. And I found out something else. When you're living off the gringo tourist trail, you sort of know all the gringos that live within, let's say, a 10-mile radius. Why? Because you stand out. You see the same people over and over at the local Walmart or Costco, and in time you may get to meet and talk with them on occasion or even hang out. And in observing this kind of gringo fish out of water thing when you're living way off the tourist trail and there aren't many gringos around, I've noticed almost zero instances of gringos ripping off gringos. As opposed to living on or near the gringo tourist trail, there are gringos ripping off gringos all the time. In fact, it almost seems as a percentage of the gringo population in general on the tourist trail, there are vastly more dishonest, corrupt, and generally bad gringos per capita than bad and untrustworthy Latinos. And I'd say the reason for that is because there are always so many gringos coming in and out of a gringo tourist area with wads of dough ready to spread it around. They're on vacation, you know. People on vacation tend to let their guard down, so they're ripe for picking. For example, a gringo back home in Cleveland might be an extreme tightwad, but when he gets to Costa Rica on vacation, he'll tip a porter $10 for walking 2 bags up a flight of stairs, and he'll buy a round of drinks for people he just met 10 minutes ago. And it's so easy to spot tourists. It's not just the cargo pants and the Hawaiian print shirts either. They've got that look. And bad boys know they're easy to scalp because there's an unlimited supply of them, and once they're scalped, they soon fly back home. They rarely stick around long enough to get a lawyer and file charges. But for expat gringos off the tourist trail who live there permanently, the longer you're down here, the more you learn, the smarter you get, and the harder you are to scam. Now, speaking of lag time and doing business here in Latin America, check this out from a brand new Latin American Business Journal article. I'll translate it in Spanish. Here's the headline: How to Get Reliable Information from Your Customers. Now remember, this is breaking news from Thursday, February 25th, 2021 in one of Latin America's biggest business information journals. It says, customers will lie in surveys to give you a good impression. It says, it's best to obtain truthful and accurate information about your customers, free of any bias, if you ask them questions through online surveys. It states people lie less in internet surveys, lie just a little more in phone surveys, and lie the most when being questioned or surveyed one-on-one, person-to-person. In other words, people are most truthful online, slightly less truthful on the phone, and lie a lot when they're questioned in person. They're talking about customer surveys now. Now I ask you, is that new information? Isn't that something we sort of took for granted as soon as the internet popped up? What is it, like 25 years ago now? Talk about lag time, huh? And then they cite this book entitled Everyone Lies, What the Internet and Big Data Can Tell Us About Ourselves. It's a book that came out in 2017, but just now got translated into Spanish. That's another example of huge lag time. We're talking about 4 years between translating a popular best-selling business book from English into Spanish, which should give you a really good idea of what this lag time thing's all about. I mean, look, if some cutting-edge information comes out in an English journal or in a book, and it doesn't even get translated into Spanish for 4 years, that means there's at least a 4-year lag time built into the system. Hey, just saying. But all that, you know, is very good news for gringos and expats. That means we've got an instant 4-year head start. Or you could say we're 4 years more advanced on the learning curve than the Latino business competition. Even so, and gringos and expats have been talking about this for 50 years, they still cannot get the customer service thing down. The exceptions being U.S. franchises that end up in Latin America. Because, you know, franchises that come from the States are cookie-cutter operations. Everything's the same at every franchise, including the employee handbooks that spell out exactly how you're supposed to talk to the customer and how you're supposed to react to typical customer service situations. But you knew that already, right? So if I was to rate or put a score on customer service in Latin America on, let's say, a scale of 1 to 7. Yeah, 1 to 7. I thought I'd mix it up. 1 to 10 is so predictable. I'd say the U.S. is a 5.5 or 6, in Latin America, a 1. That means if you start a business down here in Latin America, you could wipe the floor with your competitors by improving nothing else but the customer service. Of course, since you're a first world gringo, you'll want to fix the broken glass and the burnt out light bulbs, clean the spider webs and dead cucarachas off the windowsills, make sure the bathroom sink has running water and there's a seat on the toilet, it's got a lock on the door, a roll of toilet paper, a supply of paper.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.